The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We've found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. This is the word of the Lord.
Heard a little bit about the fact that Andrew went and got his brother straight away and introduced Jesus to his brother. "I'll fetch my brother," he said. Now, what I want to do now is to get the youngsters up front to get something you can then take back to your seats. Joe's going to deal with this. It's a little activity pack for each of you. All sorts of things in it with a focus on fish. All right? So, it's an exciting pack. It's more exciting than listening to me. All right, so I suggest you come and get one. Are you walking around with them, Joe? Shall you go? Well, while they're coming round, I'll begin what I've got to say. So let's just have a little prayer while they're coming round with it. Lord, we pray that in the next few minutes, your Holy Spirit will enable us to understand more about what it means to follow you day by day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God, all the youngsters look as if they've got their gear now. They're probably waiting for the fish-shaped shortbreads at the end of the service, but have to wait. So, in our passage today from John 1, printed on the service sheet, we see Andrew in the company of John the Baptist, listening avidly to the message. As we see from verses 35 to 37, we read this in John 1. "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus." John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus, identifying him as the promised Messiah, the Lamb of God. And Andrew immediately turned his back on John and followed Jesus. And this incident is a wonderful testimony to the faithful ministry of John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist's ministry, unlike the celebrity culture in which we live today, wasn't about saying, "Look at me, how great I am." It was about saying, "Look at Jesus. I'm the forerunner to Jesus. It is Jesus you need to be following." Now, John the Baptist might have been slightly left field, slightly unusual with his camel hair coat and love for wild honey and all that. But he pointed his followers away from himself towards Jesus. When I was 12, a long time ago, but there was a knock at our front door one night. It was a very, very wet night. The rain was absolutely hammering down. And someone knocked at the front door and said, "I'm here to recruit for a Bible class called Crusaders." And my mother answered the door and said, "Well, I don't think we're going to be interested in that at all." And she started shutting the door. And just as she shut the door, just before she shut the door, this chap said, "And by the way, we play a lot of football in Crusaders." It's absolutely true. And I was behind the door, and I went to the door and said, "Oh, I think, Mum, I'd like to join this." So I joined it. And that chap who came and knocked on my door all those years ago was a chap who is now a minister in Bournemouth, as it happened. But he ran this local Bible class in Woodford, just south of Manchester. He came and knocked on the door on the foulest night possible. I wonder whether I'd even gone out. And because of his ministry, he pointed me and lots of other boys, because they were single sex in those days, Crusaders, boys crusaders and girls crusaders. We won't have a debate about that. And he pointed all of us ultimately to Jesus. Not to himself, who was the most self-effacing chap you could have. But over those years, he did what John the Baptist did with that small group of 12-year-olds growing up, pointed people to Jesus. I owe him a huge debt of gratitude. We need to pray that we will be faithful signposts to Jesus, not wanting the credit ourselves for what we believe, but pointing to Jesus in what we do and what we say, that we will be salt and light. Because unless we are like that, the Christian faith will have no credibility at all. We can have biblical knowledge till it's coming out of our ears, but unless our lives reflect that knowledge, unless our lives reflect that doctrine of following Jesus and Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, our lives, our ministry, will have very attenuated life, I think. So, I think it's this apparently simple story of Jesus' calling of Andrew and others ultimately contains profound truths about following Jesus. Profound truths about what following our leader really means. And there are just three of them. And they're very brief. The first one is this. Following Jesus means acknowledging his supreme authority. This is the first time that Andrew met Jesus, yet Jesus' authority is so compelling that he follows Jesus immediately. We live in a culture today which, perhaps understandably, values individual choice. Do we take seriously enough the lordship of Jesus, the centrality of Jesus, in our private lives and in our public lives? That's the first challenge, do we? Jesus is Lord. We frequently sing it. But what does that mean in terms of our priorities, the things we choose to put first in our lives? I don't know. Only you know. But the lordship of Jesus is of fundamental importance. And frequently, if I'm being honest, it gets squeezed out of my life. It gets squeezed out of probably all our lives because there are so many competing interests, competing forces. But the lordship of Jesus. Andrew turned immediately and followed Jesus and stuck with him and was ultimately crucified because of it himself. Secondly, following Jesus brings the privilege and responsibility of sharing in his mission. So the first point was acknowledging his authority. Secondly, it brings privilege and responsibility of sharing in his ministry. This has implications, firstly, for who we are as we walk his way to become more like him in commitment to God and others, who we are and what we do and say as fishers of men, proclaiming the good news of Jesus in a world that's often reluctant to listen. We read in verses 40 to 42, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. He brought him to Jesus. Thirdly, following Jesus is costly. Let's not be naive about it. Following Jesus is costly. Andrew and Peter were fishermen. They left their nets, we read in Matthew 4. This implied that loyalty to Jesus took precedence. This came first. No other tie was deemed to be more important. There were to be hardships and challenges galore, even death. Tradition has it that Andrew was crucified for his faith on a diagonal cross, shown today in the flag of Scotland, which country, of course, he's the patron saint. And in many parts of our increasingly intolerant world, there is widespread persecution of Christians, yes, even unto death today. There's a report came out last week by the Bishop of Truro and the Foreign Office, the government's Foreign Office, a joint report which showed in tremendous detail and stomach-wrenching way the persecution of Christians throughout the world, some in countries you wouldn't have dreamt of. Depressing stuff. It can be costly to follow Jesus. In many parts of our increasingly intolerant world, there is widespread persecution, which for some means death. In this country, the legislative framework, along with the increasing secularization of society, pose major challenges to us all. We might not live in a country where the church is openly persecuted, but, my friends, political correctness, not scripture, sets the curriculum for what our children are taught. Social norms are increasingly unrestricted. Our enemy dulls our spiritual ears through the noise of the world. And in the midst of all this, I pray that we will be eager to hear God's voice, to be open, to be empowered by the Spirit, and to be brave. I thought long and hard before I put the word brave in there, the need to be brave. But increasingly, we do need to be brave. And for many of us, in the situations we are in, it will become tougher and tougher and tougher because of legislative pressures, because of performance indicator pressures, because of the tick box world we live in, where everyone is judged arbitrarily and superficially. It becomes tough to follow Christ. Now, having said that, in the number of years I've been a Christian, which are considerable now, I've never once been punched in the face or never once been had such profanities thrown in my direction that it made things intolerable. People, by and large, are eager to learn about Jesus as long as we're sensitive in the way we do it. But let's not kid ourselves. You need to be brave to follow Christ today. But we have resources in the Holy Spirit that enable us to be brave. Enable us to stand up for Christ. There are a number of other mentions of Andrew in the New Testament, but the one I want to close with is that the last mention of Andrew comes in Acts chapter 2. He was with the other disciples in Acts 2, awaiting and receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of what we now call Pentecost. And he must have rejoiced to watch 3,000 believers added to the church as a result of who? As a result of the preaching of his brother Peter, who straight away he told about Jesus once he knew about him himself. Peter, the first person he had introduced to Jesus, was the one who spoke to these 3,000 and saw them converted to Christ. Without Andrew's preparedness to speak about Jesus to his brother, this would not have happened. He clearly followed the leader, Jesus. He did not hesitate. Do you remember at the beginning I said, the deer by and large follow, but one hesitates. One doesn't jump over the hook. Sometimes we're in the position of hesitating. Perhaps there's people this morning here who've hesitated. They can't quite see the need, the importance of following Jesus. They can't quite understand the debt we owe him, the love he's shown to us. It reminded me as I was walking through Bradgate last Monday of that deer that wouldn't jump over that brook. Stayed there and stayed there. But as I turned round further down the path, he had jumped over the brook and gone over, which reassured me. I don't quite know theologically how you explain it, but it had made a lot of symbolism to me. He did. And sometimes we need to be open to jumping over that brook, as it were, to being prepared to ask Christ to shape our lives. And so as I close, because my time is limited, as I close, I want to end with a verse from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says this, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But," it carries on, "but do this with gentleness and respect." Do this with gentleness and respect. Are we prepared to give an account to others of the hope that is within us? Do we really know that hope? Do we really need to trust more in Jesus, the one who has given everything for us? Let's close with a prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for us. Thank you for this picture of Andrew, who followed you so willingly and who was committed to telling others about you. Lord, ensure that our lives are built on the foundation of Jesus. And give us the courage, help us to be brave, to talk when appropriate to others about you in a way that cuts ice with them, in a way that resonates with where they're at. Give us, Lord, your wisdom, we pray, and give us the power of your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.